The Golf Unfiltered podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, who we are happy and proud to partner with once again this year. Cog Hill features 72 holes of championship golf, including the world-famous Dubs Dread. They have a completely renovated practice area and driving range. It's essentially an academy that you can go and spend not only the day improving your game, but at night they've got lights now and two bars as well as a food truck to spend some quality time with some friends and family. They've been doing it this way since 1927, folks. Go out to coghillgolf.com to learn more. We're also brought to you by our friends over at Sharp Focus Nutrition. Let's face it, when you go out and play golf, you probably don't eat and drink very well. Well, a couple hot dogs, a few beers, yeah, we get it. Sharp Focus Nutrition replaces all of that with a systematic way to not only stay replenished throughout your round, but to also improve your game in doing so. Go out to sharpfocusnutrition.com to learn about their system. Let them know that we sent you. Pick up a system right now. sharpfocusnutrition.com. Welcome to the Golf Unfiltered podcast, your source for all things golf, including in-depth interviews, new equipment highlights, and answers to golf questions you might be too afraid to ask. My goal? To help you learn more about the game so you can enjoy it even more. Let's dive in. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com, and joining me is Dan Hauser from golfunfiltered.com. Dan, it's good to see you again.
You too. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. So you're back home in Florida. Last time we saw you on the pod, you were in Michigan for holiday festivities. How's the weather difference? Is it warming up in Florida?
Yeah, it finally is. I know we were joking the other day because it was, for Florida standards, it was so cold here, I actually had to get a hot coffee the other day. But we're back up into the 80s today, so things seem to be getting back to normal.
Good, good. I noticed you're you know, buttoned down. It's probably nice and comfy. I've got my hoodie on. I've got a heater going right here. It's just night and day here. But
there were some days last week where I was sitting around in slippers and a hoodie and jeans, and it was like, am I in Florida or where am I right now?
Right, right. So lot to talk about today. We're going to cover this whole Live Golf CW Network deal. And you and I were chatting a little bit earlier in the week, just kind of going back and forth about, okay, is this a good thing for Live? Is it not? Is it a step forward? Is it a step backward? So it's like, hey, let's just hop on a podcast. Let's talk this out, because this is clearly, at least in the professional golf realm, the news of the week. And so off the bat, when you heard of not only that Liv finally secured a TV deal, but it was on the CW, what was your initial reaction?
Initially, I just kind of assumed that it was a time buy, because that's what we had been hearing about as far as the only way they were going to get a deal. It would appear, as we're learning more, it is not quite a time buy, but it's also not quite a traditional media rights deal either. So that's interesting. We can get back to that in a minute, though. My other initial reaction was, felt like a desperation move. And here's where I go with that. Now, I'm going to start off saying I don't actually know anything. This is all speculation. So we'll just get rid of that on the front end. And now I'll just go ahead and fire away with what my thought of it was. So for a normal startup entity, or in this case, a sports business or a professional sports, you know, league or whatever, being able to secure TV rights in the United States before you start your first full season. Because keep in mind, last year, by Liv's own admission, was not a full season. This is going to be their first quote-unquote full season. So before even getting your first full season, you know, that's a pretty big accomplishment to get any sort of TV deal. I mean, we've seen that in the past a little bit. You know, the XFL got a TV deal right away and whatnot, but football is king in this country. So I feel like if you start a football league, you're almost guaranteed to get some sort of TV deal, not so much with golf. But so, yeah, on the surface, you're thinking, okay, that's a great deal. But since when, to their own admission, I feel like, has the Saudis ever cared about money? Certainly they have never cared about money enough to make it factor into how they're perceived or how they are viewed, because obviously if that was the case, Liv wouldn't exist in the first place. So it felt a little bit almost like it was a desperation move, where they felt like they were under pressure, whether there was language in their own contracts for their golfers that stated that they needed to be on American TV by a certain point, or whether they just were tired of getting crushed in the media and having members of their C-suite walking out, essentially.
Right.
It seemed like they were, it was almost a little bit of a desperation move. So that was kind of my first thought. As I thought about it more, I do kind of wonder, in some of the contracts of some of the bigger name guys, Brooks, DJ, Phil, some of these guys who were given a lot of money, who this league is basically centered around, was there any sort of language in there? We know that these contracts were very, very specific as far as what you can and can't do, to the point of what you were even allowed to wear and not allowed to wear. So I do wonder, was there any sort of language put in these contracts stating that within X number of months of them signing these deals or of Liv starting last season, was there some sort of contractual requirement that they would be on American TV in a traditional sense, or they could have essentially walked? I mean, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense why you would want to put your golf league on the same channel as Riverdale and Gilmore.
Right. You know what? Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm with you on that point. I mean, my initial reaction, of course, was like, oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that the CW was still even a thing. And obviously a lot of the jokes, right. Right. And a lot of the jokes on social since then have been, you know, Riverdale, One Tree Hill, and all these other shows that traditionally have appeared on CW. And then I thought about it and I'm like, well, okay, Live Golf wanted a TV deal of some sort. And we were hearing, as you alluded to, that initial big networks that we had thought would be big players in this, Fox, NBC, CBS, they were all saying, no, we don't want to touch you at all. And so the options for Live were dwindling greatly. We get down to the point now where it's a matter of, you know, the actual deal, whatever it is with the CW. And you mentioned too, it's not a traditional media rights agreement from what we know. And there's a good article on golf.com right now referencing what we do and don't know right now. And you have to think, okay, if let's say the player contracts are a big player in this, where, you know, Brooks, Phil, Bryson, all these guys, Dustin, got to get paid. Now, Liv Golf found a home, as funny as it is, and now they're going to have commercials. And so I can't think about, and you brought this up before we got going here, you know, the commercial-free experience on YouTube, which, by the way, YouTube is no longer in the picture. The commercial-free experience on YouTube was one of the endearing qualities. But now we have that, and could that be a good thing for Liv? Because now there's advertising dollars. So there's all these things that are kind of going through your head when you hear about this deal. I mean, what's your take on YouTube no longer being a factor?
So you mentioned real quick about the advertising thing. Yeah, so we're going to have commercials now, but you also have to wonder, because now keep in mind the CW deal, even though it eliminates YouTube from the equation worldwide, the CW deal is United States only, which is interesting because they basically gave up their ability to stream to billions of people around the world for the right to be able to air it on a television channel that, yeah, while I don't remember the exact number, I think it was somewhere around 120 million homes get it. A lot of homes in this country get True TV, but I promise you, as we see online every year, March Madness time, a lot of people are only turning on True TV for that week, and then they're not anymore, myself included. And you usually can't remember what channel it's even on until you got to talk into the remote or remind yourself how to even find it as we get back into that week every year. So, yeah, listen, I'll admit I didn't know the CW still existed anymore. I was absolutely this many days old when I learned that they had an app that you could stream their programs on, because boy, did I not have any clue about that one. I assumed that because it was a TV channel, their app, you would have to put in a login information for your cable or satellite provider. You have, right before we got on, you actually told me that as of right now is not going to be the case. So that makes things a little interesting. From an advertiser standpoint, though, like I said, so this is just an American TV deal with the CW. What American company, business, product, service, et cetera, is going to want to have their advertisements on a Live Golf broadcast? And, you know, obviously, of course, you can say, oh, well, there are channels that are also, and entities that are also controversial like them, who somehow manage to still get advertising. And while you are correct, there also, we've seen in history where advertisers have pulled out very, very quickly when they haven't liked certain things that were said or done or how the product was viewed. So short of, you know, maybe the ones who you see on everything because they don't really care, like, I can't see this being an easy ad sale for them. And to give up what they gave up on YouTube, not that anyone is really watching on YouTube anyway. We would see usually around 30,000 people out
of,
you know, billions of people that had it. But at least they were able to get some sort of numbers on YouTube as far as metrics go for potential advertisers. They're not going to be able to get those metrics for CW because CW is not a Nielsen-rated television channel outside of weeknight prime time programming, which is basically Riverdale.
Right.
I couldn't even tell you another show that's on the CW right now in the prime time other than that one. That might be the only one. I don't even know. But they're certainly not going to be able to get any sort of metrics or numbers for their streaming only on Fridays. That's another thing. So they get rid of the streaming only deal with YouTube that they had. It wasn't a deal, but putting this stuff on YouTube and their own website, they get rid of that. They can't do that anymore. And their Friday rounds are still going to still only be streaming only. It's just now going to be, you're going to have to find the CW app, which, you know, you and I have joked, and I feel like a lot of people our age joke about, you know, the ultimate test is can I tell my parents or grandparents how they can watch this? And yeah, you can say, hey, you can go on YouTube. And even if you're not very technologically savvy, you have an understanding and idea of what YouTube is. And you can probably type in youtube.com on whatever kind of computer you have. Good luck trying to explain to them how to download the CW app or what the CW app even is. So, I mean, it's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Fair point.
Yes, I understand that Liv is not, I understand that Liv is an entity. They're not trying to appeal to that older group. They're not appealing. They are appealing to the younger people who in theory are cord cutters and only stream anyway, but I'm sure that there are people that are older out there that if they didn't watch Liv last year because they couldn't figure out YouTube or they didn't want to stream or they didn't have streaming capabilities on their TV and they didn't want to sit at a computer and watch it, they probably would now, flipping the channel on a weekend, maybe tune in to the CW and see, oh, there's golf on. But if they're already one round in and they've missed the whole round, it might not capture them enough to say, oh, well, I'll tune in now because they already missed a full day's worth of whatever happened.
The Golf Unfiltered podcast is happy and proud to partner once again for the second year with Mizuno Golf. I've had the opportunity to work with Mizuno Golf for the last couple of years, and listeners know that the first set of golf clubs that I've ever purchased myself were a set of Mizuno T-Zoids. So I've been around the brand for many years, and I am super excited to play their equipment again in 2023, including the new 923 forged irons from Mizuno Golf. Go out to our YouTube channel. You can see the full fitting with Mizuno Golf right now. All right, back to the show. Right. No, you're right. And, you know, I have a hard time with this because it's hard to, at least for me, to separate, you know, Liv and everything that comes along with Liv and the things that I disagree with, that you and I disagree with regarding Liv. And then also, okay, well, if we think of this purely as a startup, if this was anyone else, would this be a smart path for the startup? Would a startup golf tour owned by some other entity going to the CW be a good move for them, you know? And in my mind, I kind of go back and forth with it, honestly, because in one hand I could see, yeah, I mean, this is good because you're getting yourself onto network television in some manner. But on the other hand, I also kind of see your point where it's, all right, well, we just needed something and this is the only place that allowed us to do that. Now, what is interesting is what you mentioned as well about the Nielsen ratings, where we're not going to be able to get the numbers, like, because that was a big lightning rod metric last year. And everyone poked fun at Greg Norman and Liv Golf about the lack of engagement on YouTube. And now it's all right, well, we're going to hide those numbers. Oh, we can't give them to you anyway, because we don't even know them, which obviously that's not going to be true. They're going to know exactly what they are. And then the other side of it is, well, these outlandish sums of money have been paid. We still don't know all the details of those contracts. Some of it's guaranteed money, some of it isn't. And now it's a matter of the commercial element where it's, and you touched on the advertising as well. So in my mind, good for them that they are going to have the capacity to be on television sets more as opposed to logging into YouTube. But also, wow, there was nobody else? that was going to be willing to bring this tour on. I'm almost conflicted on the whole thing.
And that's another funny part of this too, is the I don't remember the exact words, so I'm paraphrasing here, but in the press release, it was basically like after a competitive bidding process. Right. No. Like, and this once again goes back to the early days of Live, where it's like, we're not stupid, so stop treating us like that. When everyone was saying, oh, I want to spend more time with my families, and it's this, no, right. It's not. It's because they gave you a money that you've never seen before in your life, and you'd be stupid to pass up on it. I'm pretty sure up to this day, Pat Perez is still the only one to actually be honest about it and just say, yeah, I did it because they gave me a ton of money, and I would be stupid to turn it down. But so this is another example of treating us like a bunch of idiots. There is no way. Zero way that if you had even one other television outlet other than maybe Bravo, call back to anyone who read my article last week. I almost got it right, though. I was joking about Bravo. CW, we're not that far away. Just a different ownership group as far as NBC Universal doesn't own them. But outside, you know, there's no way you are choosing and settling on the CW if literally any other television outlet had even considered bringing you on. For a company and for an entity like Liv who does not care about the money, I'd be willing to bet that if Fox had said to them, hey, we'll give you a time buy versus CW saying, we're just going to give you this for free. We're not paying you, but you're not paying us, and you're, you know, whatever. I feel like Liv probably would have paid Fox for the airtime before they would have taken free airtime from CW if there really was a competitive bidding process. So it's right. Just like, come on, guys. Like, hey, nobody else wanted you. CW threw you a bone. Props to you. You still managed to get on it, but like, we're not idiots. Yeah. We haven't been idiots from the beginning. And that's been a big thing with golf fans in general. It's like, it is what it is. And just say that's what it is. And then we can all move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I do agree. I'm getting tired of the, let's just say it out loud. You know, what are we trying to hide? You know, to your point about us not being idiots. And what is interesting too about the CW, you know, when we think of these things, and as you did a really good job of in your article regarding the WWE potential sale, alleged sale that may or may not be happening. It's probably going to happen, but it may or may not happen to the Saudis and the connection with Liv. You know, another connection that I wasn't immediately aware of was the parent company of the CW, which is Nexstar, also owns News Nation. And so News Nation, which is the upstart, middle of the road news broadcast that's going out. This almost seems like, all right, this is a parent company that's in the market right now for establishing new things. And in my mind, it's almost like, all right, well, if there was ever a company that doesn't have really anything to lose, it's a company like this, you know? So that was another interesting tie-in. And I'm sure we're going to learn more and more as this goes on. But, you know, from a high-level standpoint right now, on the surface, this is a questionable move at best. And this, all of this is kind of an aside point to the fact that the broadcast, at least in my opinion, Dan, the broadcast of Liv Golf is actually pretty good. It's got a lot of good things going for it. The commentators, but the actual production value is not bad.
No, it was great. And the best thing about it, the thing that actually, I didn't tune in often, but the thing that actually did keep bringing me back when I would tune in was the fact that I know that at any point I could turn it on and I was just seeing golf shots, and it was fantastic. Yes. I wasn't seeing one golf shot, 20 minutes of commercials, a taped package, Jim Nance for another 5 minutes, one more golf shot, and then we do it all over again. I could tune it on at any point and I was seeing nothing but golf shots. That unfortunately, or I mean, I guess you could say fortunately for Liv because they're going to make money off it, but unfortunately for us, the golf fan, and for the golf fan that was never really all in on them to begin with, but did appreciate certain things such as the commercial freeness of it, that's gonna be gone now. And I know you mentioned Nexstar. Yeah, obviously they have advertisers. They wouldn't be a business if they didn't have advertisers. So there will be advertisers on Liv. I'm not saying there's not going to be any advertisers, but my question is it just going to basically be the same advertisers that Nexstar gets on their other TV channels and in their other properties, or if there will actually be advertisers that we would traditionally see typically on a PGA Tour weekend on NBC or on Golf Channel on CBS, will they consider buying ad space on LIV? And my first inclination with that would be no, I couldn't see it happening, but I also would have never imagined that they would even get even the CW deal, let alone anything. So, you know, crazier things have happened in this life.
No, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I'm with you though. I don't foresee Burger King, Best Buy, you know, yeah, whoever, or even in Best Buy commercials anymore. I don't remember, but I don't see them buying ad spot. But
the one good thing about that is it could be going to watch LIV on the weekends might be a reprieve from that Burger King commercial and that same song going over and over and over again. So if anything, that could be a selling point for them too. Is come watch us and you won't have to listen to that same Burger King jingle 50,000 times a day.
There you go. LIV Golf. If you're watching, there's a free marketing angle there. But what is interesting is, you know, so we were talking about advertising. I'm losing my train of thought here a little bit, but essentially, you know, you are going to be able to reach an audience in the United States who is a little bit tech savvy, I guess you could say, if you want to download an app and stream and you want to do that. You and I were talking a little bit about the availability of the CW in general. I have YouTube TV. I cut the cord a while ago, and I guess there's local affiliates that could or could not choose to run the CW on YouTube TV. You have a different provider, if I remember right. Furbo, is that who you have?
Oh no! So I have Xfinity, which has it, but I learned the other day that Fubo TV or Hybrid Press, they do not have.
I say Furbo. CW. What's Furbo? Furbo, yeah.
I think that's one of those ones where you can rent somebody's house or whatever. But I think you combine Verbo and Fubo there. I don't believe Fubo TV has the CW. And you just mentioned kind of in passing there, we didn't touch on this earlier, but as part of this deal, local CW affiliates have, because technically CW is not paying for the rights to this, and LIV is not paying as a time buy, so the CW local affiliates are actually under no obligation to even air the event. So you could have a situation where your local CW affiliate could essentially choose to run One Tree Hill reruns or paid programming or really whatever they would like to in that window where the LIV Golf Tournament would be airing. So that's another thing too, is you say, okay, great, the CW is in 125 million homes. Let's just throw that number out there. But how many of those 125 million homes are actually going to get it on a Saturday and Sunday? Because how many of those local affiliates are going to say, nah, we're good, we'll just keep airing what we were airing? Yeah. So that's another whole kind of aspect of this that I think it almost felt like that part was kind of a throwaway line in the reporting, if it was even included in the OSHA reporting, that the local affiliates actually aren't required to air this tournament, which,
right,
man, I Twitter, the first time when a local affiliate somewhere that somebody lives in is airing paid programming instead of LIV, that is going to be a interesting day on golf Twitter, listening to that one, or watching that one play out in real time.
Absolutely. And it's the other wrinkle in this whole thing, and James Colgan actually tweeted this out a couple days ago. Two of the CW's, two minority owners of the CW actually are PGA Tour broadcast partners, and that's Paramount and Warner Media. And so to your point, if a local affiliate chooses to not air LIV, then you got to answer to those folks. And so it's everything's wrapped up. Everyone talks to one another. I mean, you've worked in TV before. I have not, but in the media side, in a different realm, everybody knows everybody. It's not a huge world. These people talk to one another. So I'd imagine that word would travel fast if something's not being broadcast.
And I have not combed over the LIV schedule for this year. So I don't know if it's even a scenario where it could happen, but man, if there is a LIV event the same weekend where the PGA Tour is on CBS, because obviously there are some weeks where it's on CBS and some weeks it's on NBC. If there is a week where there is a LIV tournament the same weekend as a PGA Tour event, and that PGA Tour event is airing on CBS, and all of a sudden multiple CW affiliates are just like, "Nah, we're not going to air this one." Oh boy, that could be quite the I don't even know the word. The two sides already don't play nice to begin with, and I feel like that would just add a lot of fuel to an already pretty significantly burning flame.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's interesting how this is all going to play out. I mean, down the road, do we see some agreement like Rory McIlroy wanted, saying, hey, you know what, we just got to get everyone down at a table and think about it. We haven't heard anything about Greg Norman's future with LIV as far as his role. There was some rumblings about Mark King, the former TaylorMade CEO, stepping in and replacing Norman in that role while Norman would go back to the board or whatever of LIV Golf. But when all is said and done, I mean, there's, if you're a fan of LIV, I'm sure there's some of you who listen to this show that are, and fine, that's perfectly fine. You'll have somewhere to watch it. I'm interested, Dan, to see how these golf fans kind of balance exactly what you just said. If there happens to be, you know, conflicting tournaments in the same week, you know, where do you turn your attention to? And then it becomes, all right, advertisers have to wonder, all right, LIV on the CW, you literally have to get eyeballs away from the PGA Tour in those weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I didn't tune in to watch LIV much last season. Like I said, the one good thing was anytime I did happen to click over to it, there was golf always being shown. But, you know, it's just on Fridays when I'm getting work done and I got the TV on in the background, it's really easy to just throw on Golf Channel, CBS, and, you know, whatever any of the channels are. A little bit trickier when you're trying to figure out YouTube and get that going in the background while you're working. On the weekends, I'm certainly not going to take, to be honest with you, I'm not going to take the time to try to figure out to stream YouTube off my TV or have it on wherever I'm out and about and going on. Will it make a little bit easier to watch and kind of keep his background noise now being on the CW, at least Saturdays and Sundays? Friday is still going to be streaming, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. Will it mean that I tune in a little more often now? Possibly. Still not exactly my cup of tea. It's a limited field event. They're playing three rounds. We know why everyone's there. It's still not, there's really no stakes involved week in and week out. So from that standpoint, you know, whatever. If I'm flipping channels on a Saturday and I don't feel like watching the same episode of The Office on Comedy Central that I've seen 30,000 times, maybe I'll watch that for a few minutes. I don't know. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens. Like I said, because I think the one saving grace selling point that it had and the one way that it was actually succeeding in whether they were taking the tour down, changing the way the tour operates, changing the way the tour thinks, changing the way golf fans think was that commercial free aspect. And there was always a golf shot being shown. And that was their biggest, in my opinion, at least, that was their biggest selling point. And they just, based on reports, gave that away for free because they're not, yes, they are now able to sell ads, but I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, you are a little bit more tech savvy when it comes to this type of stuff than I am. They could have sold ads and still had it run on YouTube.
They could have.
Exclusively on YouTube, and they could have sold ads on YouTube. They could have, when you go on and watch videos on YouTube, there are ads on it. So, I mean, they could have been running live on YouTube and still had advertising on it. And if anything, they probably could have had a better chance of getting more ad sponsors because you can sell them on literally anyone in the world will see this. But now they basically gave that away essentially for free. So, goes back to why I feel like it was a panic move because the Saudis don't seem to do anything budget conscious. They do a lot of stuff for money, but it usually involves throwing stupid amounts of money around that they don't care about. And this seemed like a panic move that would be something that you would see a startup do that's on a tight budget. And there's been no indication that anything Saudi Arabia has ever done in life has been on a tight budget.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those moving parts and you are right. I mean, YouTube has different, to the best of my understanding, YouTube has different advertising categories where you could actually just have automated ads go up. Like if you were to go to like Golf Unfiltered YouTube channel video, you'll see just ads pop up. I didn't choose what appears, but there are higher branches and higher categories that you can do stuff like that, where you can have a little bit more customization.
I would imagine if you're a professional sports franchise airing your events live on YouTube, I'm guessing there's somebody within the C-suite of LIV that could call somebody up at YouTube or Google, or I think Google owns YouTube, and say, hey, we want to essentially treat this like a live TV broadcast. We want to partner with you guys to sell ad space. And you, you can, like you would see with local TV, like YouTube will get the opportunity to throw their generated ads in. Like when you watch local television, your local Chevy dealership has an ad going during the Big Bang Theory, and then the next thing is Coca-Cola because they get certain room to put their local ad space in there, and the TV station themselves do. I'm sure that that deal could have been arranged. I mean, I can't imagine why it wouldn't have been able to be, but yeah, it's just another head-scratching component to this whole thing.
You know, the thing that could turn this whole thing on its head, and I mean, and the apps that I use, it's not available, is if they allow one of these sports books to partner with them. I mean, if I can parlay Phil Mickelson, Bryson, and whatever else, I mean, that's going to get me to watch at least more than I did last year. And I admit I did watch a couple of the tournaments, but you know, I mean, that could be a turning point. But again, to your point, the Saudis don't need the partnership.
Well, it's not even that at that point. That once again goes back to the same point of if this is an American deal. So if a sports book were to do that, it would be an American sports book. So it would be a MGM or a DraftKings or a FanDuel, or is one of those going to want to be associated and be quote unquote in bed with the Saudis?
Good question.
It's one thing when they're partnering with the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NHL, because those are institutions in this country. And yes, while all of them at one point or another have had their controversies or their, hey, they might not have handled them, some a specific thing that well, they also don't have the history that the Saudis have as far as human rights abuses and killings and all the bad things that come along with that. So once again, yeah, absolutely. If you give me a way to bet on this, yeah, I'm sold. You got me. But which one of them is going to say, yeah, I'll partner with you guys, we can do this, because they're going to have to deal with the PR blowback. And
right.
It's a business decision at the end of the day. And it's going to be, well, the hit we take from our PR, will we be able to make that up because another 1,000 people are going to sign up now because they're going to want to bet on LIV Golf? But realistically, anyone who's betting on LIV Golf probably already had an account because they were probably already betting on the PGA Tour. And then on top of, they were already betting on everything else. Like you and I, for example, yeah, would we watch it more if they partner with a bet? But it's not going to, there's like a 99% chance we already have that betting app. So we aren't new subscribers to that particular, business.
That's true. Well, and to your point about who would want to, you know, get together or get in bed with the Saudis, so to speak. If there's ever an industry that has a high moral character, it's gambling.
You know, you got me there. Hey.
At any rate. All right, Dan. Well, we're up against the clock here. This is going to be interesting, to say the least, as we keep saying. Obviously, you know, okay for LIV to get a TV deal. They've kind of checked that box. It's not what they wanted. Certainly, it's not what they wanted, but it's something that they needed. On the other side of it, it's a matter of, okay, well, how effective is it going to actually be, and will it drive the needle in any way whatsoever? I think you and I kind of agree on, you know what, probably not, but we'll see how things go. Any final thoughts on the whole matter?
I mean, at the end of the day, only time will truly tell if this was a colossal failure or it ends up being a home run for them. Or obviously, if they are able to prove some form of success in this CW deal, it's a possibility that they could be doing this almost as a audition to bigger and better TV partners to say, this is what we can offer to you if you sign us. Yeah, but for the time being, it is definitely a very curious decision on their part.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, sir.
We're going to have LIV on TV. So at the end of the day, there are going to be LIV tournaments broadcasted on American television channels now. But that's about as far as we can go as far as what this is going to mean at this point.
Well, we will tune in if we feel like it. And, we'll see where things go. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Dan, thanks, as always, for coming on. And if you haven't already, listeners, go out to golfandfilter.com and read Dan's piece once again on the WWE/LIV/Saudi potential connection. And we'll see how that plays out as well. Dan, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Always good talking to you.